I'm Richard Porter.
And I'm Johnny Smith.
This is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and sometimes car batteries.
Are you a left-handed or right-handed clapper?
What do you mean?
Well, I you know, like when you're younger and you just go through that period of deciding what your signature should be?
Yes.
For the rest of your life.
Ooh, do I underline?
Yeah, and do I...
It's
like
a big one.
Yeah, I tried to make mine look a bit like a sort of graffiti tag because it was that era. and I've still got it like that. do you clap... I remember perfecting my clap one day thinking, I'm not sure I'm clapping as good as I could clap, so I'm going to adjust the technique slightly. So now what I do is I clap the opposite way to what I normally would. I'm left-handed. I'd normally have the left hand over the right hand as a clap. So my
what
left
are
hand,
you talking about?
I actually just I just overanalyzed the clap, and I don't mean
right.
the sex
no,
disease.
No, but I don't, how are you putting... I'm left-handed too. My clapping is like the four-wheel drive system on a Subaru. It's symmetrical.
But do you favour left over right or right over left?
Well, I'm going to have to clap now. Hang on.
Do it. Just clap.
There's just... I mean... the right hand... I would say the fingers of the right hand are pointing upwards my left hand is horizontal near as damn it, and my right hand is vertical. But there's, they're not perfectly 90 degrees to each other, and then they are colliding palms together. There's no over anything. Which way are you doing? Like a horizontal?
Sorry, you don't clap with your fingers pointing directly away from you, do you?
Essentially, yes.
No, I clap on the diagonal. Yeah, I'm clapping.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't got a webcam, so I can't instruct you. I might do clapping tutorials. You know, there's big market in this shit. Look, ASMR, whatever it's called, people talking really closely to the microphone with a slight lip smack. It always sounds a little bit fetish and slightly sexy. And now I'm going to show you how to change the oil on your Jeep Cherokee. I'm going to need a 15mm spanner.
It wasn't the one with Gillian Anderson that was doing the rounds the other week.
Gillian Anderson could tell me to wash my clothes and cut the lawn, and I'd probably get a bit of a semi on.
There probably is one. Hello, I'm Gillian Anderson, just cleaning out this plug hole in my upstairs shower tray. It's absolutely full of all sorts of muck and pubes.
I don't really understand it, and I'm slightly scared of it. But I don't understand how this has spiralled into a big thing. I mean, I realise this is not car-centric chat, but at the same time, I'm a bit nervous about it.
Well, can I pick your wise car brain for a moment? Because I have a small technical problem,
okay,
which is that the battery on my Porsche has gone flat.
Oh, this is a 911 popular...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The 997 era, and I think the 996, because it's basically the same car at heart, they are terrible battery drainers. They absolutely, a matter of days, like 2 or 3 days, even with a brand new battery in it, 2 or 3 days, it goes into sleep mode where the remote locking no longer works. You have to use the key.
Only 2 or 3 days?
Maybe that's unfair. That might have been when the battery was getting a bit weak, but I had a new battery in it only a few months ago.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it's certainly within a week, even with a healthy battery, it's gone into sleep mode, and everyone who's ever had one of these cars knows what happens then. You go up to it, you have to open it on the key, but before you actually open the door, you then have to push the button on the remote, otherwise the alarm goes off and you look like a tit. So they're pretty well known for some reason for being heavy battery drainers. I don't know what it is, but...
What is it? Glove box light?
I just don't know, but it's just a known thing they seem to do. So, of course, not using the car a lot at the moment, I had this sense of weary inevitability that it's like, oh, God, I haven't driven it for like 3, maybe 4 weeks. It's probably gone beyond sleep mode. It's probably going to be a bit
death
flat.
Mode.
It was absolutely just nothing in it, not a thing. So, of course, what that means is it hasn't even got the juice to... drop its own door glass in that way that, you know, cars do with frameless doors.
Oh, sugar.
So to open the door, it's like you've got to pull the glass from inside the seal, which I hate doing. And then I put the key in the ignition. I was like, I know what's going to happen here, but, you know, sense of optimism that maybe something will happen. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, it didn't even do that thing where, you know, when there's sort of it's like a dying man in a movie when the dashboard lights come on, but they're very dim.
Or there's a flicker.
Who's that? Tell my wife I love her. Thing. And it's always sort of this, oh, come back, don't leave me, don't go towards the light. And it didn't even do that. There was nothing. So I thought, well, that's just confirmed my worst suspicion. I'll take the key out of the ignition again.
Yeah.
Can't. The car has captured its own key for some reason.
No. So, a bit like sometimes an electric car won't let you release the charger lead.
Yes.
I've had that before and I couldn't work it out. Well, oh my gosh, so is it in there now?
Well, thankfully, no. Because then it was like, oh no, I was going to use the car to take some food to a food bank with the ulterior motive that I would be able to put a bit of charge back into my Porsche, hopefully, by driving it just sort of a mile up the road to drop off some food. And I had to go because I had to get this food dropped off. So I had to take the other car. And so I shut the door of the Porsche. It wouldn't shut properly because the bloody glass wasn't dropping to clear the seal.
Yeah.
And then I got the spare key and locked it. You know, on the way where the ignition is on those 911s, it's sort of visible through the window glass very easily.
Yeah.
It's sort of on the dash. But it's the middle of the day and the street's not busy. So I left it, came back and got a battery booster pack. But you can't, I mean, this is just, it's a saga. Stop me when I'm boring you. But
not yet. I'm not.
The battery in those cars is under the front bonnet where the boot is as well.
Yeah. And that's a solenoid release, is it?
Or
is
solenoid release, yeah. But they thought of that.
Okay.
There's a fuse box just in the driver's footwell. And there's a little tab you can pull out of the fuse box. And if you can get a battery booster onto the little tab that you pull out, that juices the car, theoretically, just enough that you can release the solenoid. But not in my case. It wouldn't do it.
My gosh.
It wouldn't do it. So then I found out on the inside, when I pulled the fuse box lid off, I'd never noticed this before, there's this very thin bit of wire that's sort of clipped inside the fuse box lid. And I was like, what's that doing there? It's this L shape, only a little. It's this like a sort of little hook at the end almost.
Yeah.
Well, I've never spotted this before. What's going on? And then I looked it up. You get this bit of wire and you prise off a little cover around the ignition slot and there's a hole and you poke the little bit of wire into the hole and pop, your key releases.
What?
So, problem solved there. And then I very gingerly sort of pushed the window glass back into its seal and locked the whole thing up and walked away and just went, right, the car is now secure again and no one's going to steal it because the battery is flat as a fucking pancake. But here's my question. This is why I bring it up with you and I would relish your advice. What do I do now? Do I bother trying to get the car back to life, or the fact that I'm not going to use it for a while means that it's not worth bothering with? And is that bad?
Yeah, there's two things you need to do. Well, there's two suggestions I have. First suggestion is you need to get a solar panel trickle charger, which is about a foot and a half long, maybe 2 feet. And they're popular with sort of motorhomers and
people.
Yeah,
I've seen them.
In fact, I've got one in the garage that I don't use, so I could probably send it to you. Think of it as a gift. A belated birthday gift, because I think your birthday was last week, was it?
Yeah, it was.
So I can do that, and you just leave it on the dash, and it'll just keep it topped up enough that it won't be flat as a fart, and it goes in the cigarette lighter hole. Mm. The other thing is you take a 997 is a pretty modern car. I often just take the battery out of a car that I'm not using for a while, and then I keep the battery nursed on a little special battery conditioner. Because if you know you might not use that car for 2 months, and the battery will not be in a good way if it's completely flat and left for that kind of time. So.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm assuming I'm just going to have to get a new battery again and stick.
But that's £100 or more.
I know, it's infuriating. But my worry is, because like you say, 997 is a relatively modern car.
Mm.
I assume that all of its various computers and things are okay, but it does just slightly worry me that if it's the notorious battery drainers, what's draining the battery? I'm assuming it's sort of ECUs and alarms and related things.
It's probably immobilisers and and alarms.
But will they, with no electricity to suckle on, will they
suckle?
Do some kind of computer shitting of pants? And when a new battery goes in, the car will have decided it's not a car anymore.
I think you maybe speak to Porsche UK, but I would definitely try a bit of solar, because where you live, and you could just casually have it on the dash. You can keep it in the car with not using it. It would just keep it above board. But if you speak to Porsche, they might say, "Yeah, just take the battery out and leave it."
That is my inclination, because it just seems to me otherwise the whole... I mean, yeah, a good point about the solar thing. I hadn't thought about that. But in the absence of one of those, I just thought, I'll get the battery sorted out and then we'll just go through this whole sorry cycle again. I'll be like 500 quid down on batteries by the time that I'll start to use the car again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just starting to get a bit bored of this conversation. But before we finish, I'm just going to say... I'm just going to finish it by saying the 997 is a highly revered 911 to me, and it's just gone down in my estimation a little bit after this level of faffage that you've described.
Well, because they're a bit needy on batteries, yeah.
Very needy on batteries. I find that, and especially with the door not dropping and all that shaz, I'm like, I'm a bit annoyed with it.
I sort of feel like it's like, you know, superheroes always have one fatal flaw.
Maybe. We've spent, as journalists, ages and ages, years and years, going on about how the 911 is a 365-day sports car / supercar. Maybe that's the point. Maybe in some very small print in a Porsche manual, it says, if you don't use 911 every day, it's going to be awful. Because you can't let it sit. It's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
It'll digitally starve and then just shut down. And
but that is my genuine fear. It's
your Tamagotchi.
It's a Tamagotchi. That car's a bloody Tamagotchi.
Your 911 is a bastard of a Tamagotchi.
Oh, God. Well, there we are then. We've summed that up. Well, Dad, you've summed it up in a nutshell. I have inadvertently got a fucking Tamagotchi sitting outside being incredibly needy.
There you go. Please use me.
I can't give it the attention it requires. Use me. Please drive me. My handling is excellent. We should go for a drive. I can't go for a drive. Oh, well. Oh, I'm fading. I'm fading fast. Bye.
It's just like you were saying, it's just like in cartoons when they're struggling to reach something.
Yes.
Or they are dying and they are describing it verbally when they're trying to save their energy. It's like, must reach the special sword to grab and then kill the evil emperor. It's like, dude, stop describing it. You're not a narrator. Just get on with it. We can see it. We can bloody see it. We know what you're trying to achieve. Stop saying it all. We don't need it all. We don't need a dialogue.
Maybe that's why my 911 and all 911s of its type flatten their batteries so quickly, is because they accidentally designed in the describe function. So even when it's parked, it's going, just sitting here, being a car, yes, engine is at the back, as usual. Oh, look, there goes a Peugeot going by there. Hello. Yes, it's looking like it might rain later. No problem for me these days, of course. My tyres are modern and fresh. And, got an itchy alternator. there we go. I wonder what that bird is thinking over there. Stop describing stuff that you're seeing, you weird car.
Have you got? Get a battery conditioner from Lidl. They're not paying me to say this, but they do a great battery conditioner. I've got in excess of 9 of them. Every time I go, I have. Every time I go to Lidl and there's a special offer on them, which is it happens sort of every quarter. I'll go and get my usual Lidl related paraphernalia, but the middle aisle, if I see that battery conditioner, and it's usually about £13 to £15, I'm like, I'm buying that.
Is it really? £13 to £15?
Yeah, and it's fantastic. And it's a proper battery conditioner. Once again, maybe I can furnish your palms with one of those as a call it a gift. I might have a surplus one just in case I acquired another car that needed another conditioner. I'm not
also,
a hoarder.
I can't, the more you say battery conditioner, the more that I cannot picture the actual item you're describing, and I just picture you rubbing some sort of Pantene style solution
Pro-V
into a battery, just to keep your batteries silken and lustrous even without use.
Oh, Well, it looks like a battery charger, but the difference is it's a microprocessor controlled thing which sends sort of waves and pulses through a battery that's particularly flat in order to shake off the any corrosion on the plates of a lead acid battery.
Lead acid batteries are cack, aren't they? I mean,
I'm
despair that of all the advances made in car technology, most cars come new
with a 35 kilo thing.
Yeah, heavy, yeah. Bulky, full of acid, for Christ's sake.
I mean, the tech has been the same for 110 years, 120 yeah. years. And it's like, I remember the first time a 911 had an optional lithium ion starter battery, and that was the first car I remember seeing one. And it was a £1,300 option.
And you're like, I think still is, isn't it? I don't know. The new 911, I think, still has an old-fashioned battery. Maybe the GT cars get the lithium-ion one now.
Because they damn
well should.
And I
think McLarens, you can have it. But I feel like it's an option, even on super high-end stuff.
Even on a car which has had millions of euros developed lightweight components, and then you just stick a 35-kilo battery in it. It just seems a bit odd.
It is. It's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
I've got a lot of batteries that I circulate and keep. I'm like a small holding of lead acid batteries in the garage. It's ridiculous.
haven't batteries gone flat on any of the cars in your immediate vicinity? Never mind all the stuff you've got stashed elsewhere. But
no, unless there's a power cut and I forget. No, I'm normally on the button with most stuff. I'll be honest. Huh. Yeah, huh. I'm that guy, Rich. I'm that
well,
guy.
Well, bully for you. Well, I've got a car outside that I cannot use at the moment.
I feel like I should be inventing a football chant for you now, the bloke that has the supercar which can't go anywhere. But I can't think of a catchy chant.
You would think that the supercar makers of the world, particularly, would be in their interest to develop battery technology by whatever means that held its charge, because a lot of those cars don't get a lot of use. And I think their usual solution is to sell you a ludicrously overpriced branded battery conditioner that turns out to be just one from Halfords with, like, Aston Martin stuck over the top. But they don't... Well, they don't tackle the problem at source, do they?
Can I discuss an important issue with you?
Go on.
I put it on Twitter the other day, because I was chuckling to myself. All these YouTube videos of Mustangs leaving car shows and having just very silly accidents.
It's always Mustangs as well.
It's always Mustangs. I don't know. It's almost like they're bought by people that that don't try and learn them, to handle them and tame them before going out in front of hundreds of people. It's like me saying, I'm going to enter a figure skating competition. Oh, Johnny, have you done any training? No, I've never even put the skates on, but I'm going to go and do it in front of a load of people. Why? Why would you do that? You absolute idiot. But it was after the whole, like, certain president of a certain country talking about potentially injecting himself with Dettol. That I'm thinking maybe it's quite a good idea. I still can't believe it. But off the back of that, I thought, oh, if Donald Trump was a car leaving a car show and then having a sort of strange accident, what car would it be? What mods would be done to it? And how would this accident pan out? And you just are running through all these scenarios of badly modified Dodge Vipers and, you know, he says it's 1,000 horsepower, but it's actually 400 on a good day.
Yeah, because the supercharger isn't connected properly. It's just blowing air through a disconnected pipe somewhere underneath the engine.
Oh, it's all just 3D printed and airbrushed to look like a real turbo or a real supercharger, and it isn't really at all. It's just all bobbins. And doing that full, like, you know, oversteer, but having never experienced oversteer before, and then glancing into a parked car, and then just ending up parked in someone's front garden who lives near the event.
There's a signature move with those Mustang accidents, isn't there? It's a sort of 1-2-3. It goes one way.
Yeah, they corrected.
They do a
late.
Sort of clammy-handed, ham-fisted flail at the wheel. Overcorrect. It goes the other way. They overcorrect again, and then that's it. They're then on the trajectory to, exactly as you say, glancing blow on a parked car.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. It's always an innocent bystander that catches it on camera. Luckily, people very rarely get hurt. It's normally a funny accident, not a not a horrible one. And yeah, there seems to be an awful lot of Shelby Stripe Mustangs that are the ones that end up being the car in question. I do wonder what kind of a car that Trump might be, or if he was that incident. But I'll let the listeners decide, I think.
I thought, didn't you get a load of replies on Twitter, though, about this already?
Oh, my gosh, I got loads. I mean, yeah. I spent about an hour reading them, and then I still didn't get to the end of it, so I had to just go and do some real work, so I didn't. But, yeah, in fact, I could have a quick scroll and...
I mean, I'm assuming most people would have gone with heavy supercharging and nitrous as well. I think I did in my answer. Because I thought it's not a Mustang and it's not a Viper. If you're trying to sort of embody fat old man Donald Trump in a car, he's a Cadillac, isn't he? He's a sort of 80s Cadillac.
Yeah, he is. He's a flabby, yeah.
And I think I said at the time it would be gold, like shiny gold wrap. But I feel like there may be sort of some stars and stripes stickers on the bonnet or an enormous eagle.
Oh, it would be an eagle mural. And in the background, on a misty horizon, there would be other imagery.
Do you think, it's one of those airbrush ones, like really intricate airbrushing.
Oh, completely airbrushed. Yeah. I feel. There's some funny ones. Someone's called him a thatched Watsit, which I've never heard before.
That's very good.
Oh, gosh. What have we got here? Yeah, V6 Mustang.
V6 Mustang, yes, because that's all just wind and piss, isn't it?
That's right.
That's a good one.
Driver telling everybody in the car park he's got a Lamborghini motor in it. When he drives away, everyone knows he's full of shit.
I like the sort of, is it hope and optimism, or is it just total stupidity of Mustang drivers who are still having those accidents, despite the fact that I think I'm right in saying 40% of YouTube is just clips of Mustangs crashing as they leave cars and coffee events.
Well, they're a very popular meme, I think.
Yeah. But first of all, it's always Mustangs. And secondly, it's always just go, well, now you've seen what happened to all these other people. What do you think differentiates you from them as you turn off the traction control and decide to light it up?
Oh, it's so bad. Someone's put definitely a late 80s triple white fox body Mustang convertible with a flappy, badly fitted soft top vinyl roof. One rusty wheel arch, no service history, badly applied window tints, and a $3,000 sound system that's very loud but badly installed and it doesn't have enough fuses. So everything's slightly glowy.
I like the specifics of that one. That's
that one good. That one did get me. Yeah. Oh, Hummer. Yeah, there's some Hummers.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a Hummer. I feel like it's not noisy and ridiculous enough, strangely.
No, it's not. It's not, is it?
Is there a UK equivalent? Because I feel like that Mustang thing is very much a US thing, obviously, because there's relatively few Mustangs here. But
Ford.
But at British car events, is there an equivalent car which is the guaranteed going to have an accident as they leave? I feel...
BMW, low-ranking BMW.
Ah, well, yeah, but have they got enough power to make a tit of themselves? I'm gonna put something out there, which again...
If it's damp.
I feel like, yeah, maybe if it's damp, which stands to reason it's more likely to be damp here than in, say, California. But try this on for size. I appreciate the lack of torque may prevent this from being a banker, but I'm going to say Honda S2000.
Oh, are you?
Leaving
an
exuberant departure from a car meet in the UK, slightly slimy day. I would say that has got a solid hope of some sort of loss of control.
A pirouette.
A pirouette, or a glancing blow off a parked car.
I'm laughing just thinking about the consequences of it all. It's awful.
As I once saw at a Max Power meet, we went to film a Max Power get-together, you know, one of those sort of unofficial things, in Weston-super-Mare over a bank holiday weekend. I've told you about this before, haven't I?
Because I remember I said I've been to a couple of them when I was 17.
Terrifying. Yeah, because we had to go back because the first time the police locked down the area. but we got in, and it was centered around a McDonald's just outside Western Supermare, and there's a roundabout just outside the McD's complex.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And some guy, and I think it was in a Corsa, so he wasn't rear wheel driving it. He was just, I think, handbrake turning and being an arse around the roundabout.
Oh dear.
And an elderly couple in a Montego estate came through. They just wanted to, you know, pass across the roundabout in a normal manner. Just as this guy sort of came onto the roundabout again and yanked the handbrake, and he clipped the back of the Montego. And I think this couple rightly just read the temperature of the situation, and they just went. They didn't even stop or get out. They just carried on. But yeah, it wasn't enough to sort of really screw either car. It was a glancing blow. But there's a huge crowd there. And of course, they're all baying for the, you know, for the Corsa driver. They're kind of, it feels like they're on his side. I think this couple just scarpered.
It's not cool. I've seen a few incidents like that. Yeah, they're not great.
I've realised, though, you probably called it right with the cars that are guaranteed to get into an incident as they try and leave a car event in the UK. I'm going to say, actually, the real banker here would be an E36 M3.
E36 is a great call. Way too much sidestepping off the clutch at 5,000, yeah. And they haven't quite worked out how it's going to pan out before they do so. There's a few people that build drift cars or drift-looking cars like Silvias and stuff, and they haven't had enough seat time in the car before they start, you know, punching it in the guts. And then it's like, well, when you've got cars parked down both sides of a road, don't try and get the car to intentionally step out.
No, you know?
It's bad shit's going to happen.
That's how they fabricate accidents in laboratories. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I think the E36 has got a lot on its side because it's torquey. It has really primitive stability/traction control systems.
Yes.
And of course, they're quite cheap now, relatively. I suppose they're going up a bit, aren't they? But ratty ones
are
cheap.
Or a 46, an E46, a low-ranking E46 is owned by a certain type of person that is not afraid to give it beans.
With a heavy right foot, but two arms made of ham shanks.
It's a car that's never driven with two hands. It's always a one-handed driven car, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, because of the vape.
Because of the vape, but it also means you can't catch it quickly enough when it starts to go out of control. Because you've only got one arm on the wheel. It's like, dude, you need two arms, really. Do you know what I thought the other day? Do you remember when we filmed a Smith and Sniff in the Jag I-Pace, I think it was, and I brought along a stylophone?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, because played Axel F.
Yes, I think I did. I managed to play maybe a very primitive Depeche Mode as well. Which one was it? Just Can't Get Enough.
Well, I still can't believe you could do the Axel F, because more recently I was attempting to amuse my children by playing Axel F on a small keyboard. And actually it's quite fiddly. It's got a lot of notes.
It takes a while. I mean, look, I persevered. It took a while.
Yeah, it feels like it's very simple, and it's not. And I know this because I had to look up the music to do it. And I was like, hey, kids.
Did you get as far as...
Oh, God, no. I was still trying to do...
Such a sweet synth classic, honestly. So well produced. But the reason why I'm saying this is because someone contacted me on social media and went, I've only just caught up with some of the old Smith & Sniff videos, and I see the stylophone one. He said, well, I can find the exact words. It's like, my best mate's dad or granddad invented the stylophone. His name was Brian Jarvis. He said, oh, that's my claim to fame. My best mate's dad or uncle
invented
the stylophone. Yeah. Ah. Yeah, I thought
has he been able to retire on the stylophone fortune, or is that simply not a thing?
I haven't asked him. I don't know if it netted a lot of money. I mean,
I have a feeling it didn't somehow. But I like to imagine he was able to sort of buy a reasonably nice house out of it. When you go up to the front door, the doorbell is actually a little pen thing hanging down that you have to touch on an electrical contact, and it goes, ha.
Oh yeah, like a keypad for a gated community. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? Long coming. Off you go, get in.
Everything in his house is made with stylophone technology.
I'd quite
like
to
put some toast on.
It's a bit like those keypads on the side of American cars when they want to defrost it and start it up, but then lock it.
Oh, is that what they're for?
And they look like children's calculators facilitated to the side of a car.
They've always baffled me. And Ford, I'm pretty sure Ford, for once, still offer them. In fact, they do, because the keypads have become a bit more sophisticated. I borrowed an American Ford in the US a couple of years ago, and it had in the blacked-in B-pillar finisher.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had a touch sensitive one of those, I think. But they've always baffled me because it's like it's got sort of numbers 1 to 6 or 1 to 10. I can't remember. Either way, it's like 1 and 2 are on one key and 3 and 4 are on one key. So you kind of go, this is actually,
how are
you
going to
just have
this?
5 keys. It's like, you know, it hasn't got 10. Just because you've said it's got 10, you're just writing that on there. It's still only 5 keys, and therefore, it's just, I've always been confused. But you think it's for defrosting it in a cold.
I think it's that so you can leave the key in the ignition with the car running, but then lock the car. That's what I was led to believe. But I always thought, is that the most ergonomic way of incorporating that into the car? Because it does look like just a cheap calculator on the side of a car. It's hideous.
It always struck me as one of those things that looks like they came up with it in the 80s and it felt like the white heat of technology. And then they just never stopped doing it into the 90s and 2000s. And it sort of just became slightly embarrassing, but for some reason they persevered. Sort of like that fantastic digital clock that was in all Toyotas until last month, pretty much.
I was going to say till about now. Yeah.
Yeah, it still is, isn't it? It's definitely, it's in the CHR, but they've turned it blue, but it's still the same clock.
It's just a classic. It's as classic as that Casio you were talking about the other week, the model I name escapes me.
Yes, the F91W.
Yeah, that really catchy name thing. Yeah, it sounds like a Russian piece of military equipment.
They make hundreds of different designs of watch. They can't give them all names. They couldn't go, which one's that? That's the Casio Strongbird.
Oh, they should do. They absolutely should do.
I feel like that about washing machines and things like that, because it's sort of like, I know, again, they make lots of variations. I don't really understand why they make lots of variations, but I just thought, if you insist on having lots of variations, then have a sort of baseline name. So call it like the Zanussi Strontium. And then you can have a Strontium L and a GL and a GLS and do it that way. Like,
you know, that's a bloody good idea.
Because it's infuriating. You go and try and like buy sort of white goods and you go, now I've seen this one online, this microwave. Which one is it? It's the, hang on, let me look it up. It's the SFW/3492/UK/H1. Oh, we haven't got that. Well, we've only got the H2.
I tried to get some parts for one for my oven. And I had a very long, drawn-out number to get a new heating element for it. And I was absolutely right. I was thinking, surely it should have had a more personable name. I mean, yeah. I know it's an oven, but it should be called the Horizon Arid or something.
Yeah, a hot boy.
Yeah, just something. And then Mark 2, Mark 3, Mark 4, yeah. Mark 4.5. I don't know.
I think there's a lesson here for white goods manufacturers.
They're just missing a bloody trick.
Just think, what would Vauxhall do? In the 80s.
Yeah, it'd be
the
life.
Cavalier, and then there were trim levels. And if you didn't want a Cavalier, you could have a Carlton.
GLX, GLSI, yeah.
Or
I
an
mean,
Astra.
Absolutely.
Or a Nova. Anyway, you get the gist. Sort it out, Zanussi, Hotpoint, all of you lot. Less of your alphanumeric nonsense.
Hey, have you, in this time of lockdown, have you spent much time sifting through old stuff in the loft?
Funnily enough, I have done a bit of sorting out of stuff in the loft, yes. But it hasn't really yielded anything particularly interesting. The most satisfying thing I've done, which isn't strictly in the loft, but is nearby, is I got a label maker for Christmas, which was deeply satisfying in itself.
A label maker?
Yeah, you know, one of those little machines, like an old Dymotech machine, but the modern one, with a little keyboard, and you know, you press a button, it prints out a little sticky label. And I reorganised all my old archive of car magazines from the 80s and 90s and made sure they were, because they'd got into a terrible state. I don't know why. They'd all got mixed up. And I've been doing this book of boring car trivia and I've been needing to dig out old magazines. And it's been all a bit random. And while I was trying to do the book, I sort of didn't have the time to then sort the magazines. The book's done, so I've been sorting the magazines. They're all back now. Each magazine storage box is 1 year. And I've labelled each one so I know what's in each box. It's a beautiful thing for a slightly boring man.
You are very organised. That's something I feel like I should be doing. I've just gone in the loft and found an old scale electric that I thought I actually sent an argument to my brother and said, "Have you've got the scale electric because we used to share one. You've got it, haven't you? You've got the Walter Wolf Formula One." It was a hand-me-down when we got it, so it's ancient, and we had to repair all the connections. But we've still got the bloody thing. And I kept saying to Greg, "You've got it, get it out." And he's like, "I don't have it, Johnny, you've got it." Like, "I don't have it, I don't have it." So I went to the loft and I actually did find it, and then had to send that sort of like apology, that text of shame.
Does it work?
I haven't plugged it all in yet because we've got so much track, because we used to go and get secondhand bits of track from car boot sales and stuff to make an even bigger track. Yeah, I'm going to try and get it going in the next week or so. But the thing is, I've got a more modern slot car set, so I don't know whether to just go down the LED lit Ferrari circuit that we have, or go down the classic will it work, you know, old school Formula One. I'm sure the front splitters are all dated on because they've come off about 12 times. But there is something about it. And loads of people on social media have been delving into stuff in the loft and in the shed that they've got. I've dug out my Matchbox toys, my Hot Wheels, my radio control cars, my little plastic model kit that I hadn't built forever, and I'm going to finish it now. Lots of sort of unfinished car modelling business going on, which I quite like.
We had a bit of a touch the other day because my wife was out walking the dog and she walked past a house near us, and they'd stuck bags of Hot Wheels track outside with a little note saying, "Please take."
Oh.
So she did. Brought it home. We dumped it all in the bath, gave it a good wash and a bit of a disinfect.
Sweet.
And now we've got, because we had some Hot Wheels track, but now we've got absolutely loads of it. It's like we were making sort of mega long tracks around the garden and things. And in the bag, have you ever seen those things where it's like it's a plastic box that goes over the track and has a little roller in it, and it's a booster thing in it, and a pair of those. So you can do really long tracks and then sort of set the start up really high. So you use gravity to get them going. And then halfway along a booster, then boosts it, and you can do a big jump and stuff like that. It's mega.
Has it worked?
Yes, it's all great. And the only frustrating thing is there was some sort of stunt thing in it, which I set up. But one of my favourite of my boys' Hot Wheel cars is a little Porsche 917. And weirdly, it's one of the few of his cars that's too wide to go through some of this thing, so you can't use it, which is a shame because it's nice and low and wide, and it means it's good at doing loop the loops and stuff like that, because, you know, low C of G and all that, but you can't use it.
Low C of G.
I only found out recently, I feel naive for not knowing this, but I only found out recently that Hot Wheels cars aren't all to the same scale.
What? I didn't know that.
Well, I found it out because my boy got a new pack of them, and there was an old Honda NSX in it, and I was like, "Oh, that's lovely, a lovely old Honda NSX." And I was like, "Oh, he's actually got a new Honda NSX as well." And I found that, and I put them together, and they're the same size. And I was thinking,
"That can't be right."
Well, that's not right. In fact, I think the old one was a bit longer, just a fraction. And I was like, "This doesn't seem right." And I looked, because I'm an interesting man, I looked up the dimensions relatively of the two cars in real life, and they're miles off. They're not the same size at all, but in Hot Wheels world, they are. And then I started looking into this, and it turns out that, yeah, Hot Wheels cuts fast and loose with the scale of things, because the driving factor is whether they'll fit in the packaging. Yeah, the packaging is usually generic with a few exceptions.
Yeah,
so they just scale them to the box. And I suddenly started looking at all these different cars and going, it's kind of taken the shine off a little bit, even though I think some of them are fantastic. The last lot my boy got for his birthday, he got a pack of five, and it had a lovely little Porsche 993 in it.
Did you siphon it off before it got any chips and damage?
Crossed my mind.
Because I've done a bit of... In fact, I got one in front of me. I got a little cheeky pack from a friend, and there was a really nice... now, what is this? It's a Ford Torino, but it's not a Starsky and Hutch. It's earlier than that. Coupe. It's lovely. And it's like a bottle green with a beautiful stripe down the side. Mm. Larger resto mod spec. It's a bit of... There's definitely a bit of, what's that car modifier guy called? Chip Foose. There's a bit of Chip Foose in there down the side.
In the pack that my lad got most recently, one of the other cars is, it's not identified as such, but it's clearly like a sort of lead-sledded Jaguar Mark 10.
Oh, sweet.
In this brilliant purple colour. Yeah, it's mega. And then we've got another box of these Hot Wheel cars that we haven't given him yet, because we sometimes use them as bribes. It's like if you do a week of good, you know, getting dressed or whatever, you can have some Hot Wheels. Yeah. And in this new pack, which we've got hidden away, there's an original Lotus Esprit, which I
Siphon.
I think I might have to keep that for myself.
Adult siphon that bad boy. This Torino's not getting any panel damage. It's too good. Exactly. It's such a gorgeous metallic green. I have to say, great value for money, Hot Wheels still.
Aren't they? How do they do it? It's
I just don't know. They make them in the Philippines, don't they? Or
yeah, so they're Thailand, I think a lot of them are stamped with. But even so...
They're so nice.
They're really good, aren't they?
They're lovely. But before I was married, I used to buy them on a weekly basis. And
Did you?
Got to the point where, yeah, I pinned them all in the box still to one wall of the house. Obviously, I was living on my own. And, yeah, I realised things were getting out of hand because I was spending quite a lot of money on Hot Wheels every week. This was when Woolworths was still going. Mm-hmm. I used to quite enjoy going to Woolworths, 99 pence for one, sweet, job done. And I'd sift through the box, elbow the kids out of the way, sift through the box and make sure I got all the really sweet ones. In fact, there's a lovely purple one in front of me called the Evil Twin. And it's based on it is a lead sled, roof chopped lead sled, split rear window, but it's got two blown V8s. And poking out of the bonnet. Two, hence the name Evil Twin, twin-engined. Mm. Oh, so evocative, Richard. I could do an ASMR, whatever you call it, thing about describing the Hot Wheels toys or something like that. We can just do it really close to the microphone.
Johnny Smith's softly whispered Hot Wheels podcast is probably an idea for another channel.
Well, it could be a car-themed erotic novel narration, couldn't it? I don't know, 50 shades of Porsche grey. She ran her fingers over.
I think this is probably a good time to wrap things up. Good to talk, and let's do this all again next week. In the meantime, if you like the Smith & Sniff podcast, don't forget to like and also subscribe to whatever it is this is. And we'll be back again next week, I guess.
And watch it on YouTube, because it's been on there for a couple of years, and I think newcomers to the casts don't realise we have done visual versions, of which there's over 100 on YouTube, so... But yeah, thank you for everybody that's commented on the iTunes and stuff. It's quite amusing.
Yes.
It's lovely. It's lovely. It's really lovely.
It's so frigging lovely. Thank you, everybody. We do mean that, although it might have sounded sarcastic when I just said it there. But anyway, smashing. See you next week.
Bye.